Very brief passages from the Word of God tonight. The first is found in Jeremiah chapter 21. Jeremiah chapter 21, please. And we're going to read verse 8 and 9. Jeremiah chapter 21 and verses 8 and 9. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in the city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. Now another passage, please, in John's Gospel in chapter 10. Now I realize this verse was read last night, but we don't make any apology for reading it again. John 10 and 9, please. John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice, please, down the passage, just for another brief verse. Down the passage, did you notice that verse in verse 12? But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. Very, very solemn reading indeed. Seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Now another verse, please, down in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. One final verse, please, in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Just for a final reading tonight, verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I'm sure tonight God will richly bless the reading of his own precious word. There are three very simple things in my heart tonight in relation to God's wonderful salvation. Salvation in the light of Jeremiah 21 and these two verses were read together. Salvation is a way to go. It's a way to go. I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. Salvation is a way to go. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, salvation is a door to enter. It's a door to enter. Listen to the tender words of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The way of salvation is not only a way to go, it's a door to enter. And then finally, in Romans 6 and 23, the way of salvation is a gift to receive. Listen again to the word of the Spirit through Paul. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, oh my friend, what a beautiful word tonight, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A way to go, a door to enter, and a gift to receive. Let me take a few moments tonight to consider Jeremiah 21. It's a very solemn book, the book of Jeremiah. There is one thing that Jeremiah does in the power of the Spirit. I know there are many things that fell from the lips of that tender-hearted preacher. God's servant Jeremiah, he was a tender-hearted man. But I want to say this to you tonight. He was a very faithful man to the truth of God. He always brought to bear on the conscience of his audience the word of God faithfully. That's what we must do tonight in preaching the gospel. We must bring God's truth to your conscience and heart tonight. And there is one particular truth that Jeremiah highlights. He presses it home. He preaches it firmly and courageously. You know what that thing is? It's what the Bible calls sin. You read through that amazing book, and time again, God's servant is condemning the sin of the people as they sin against the God of heaven. My friend in this meeting, I want to say this very hurriedly tonight. Remember, sin is a terrible thing against the God of heaven. The Bible says we've all sinned. The Bible says there is no difference. Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible makes it absolutely clear that there is not a man that has lived who sinneth not. You know, I remember preaching in the Shetland Isles of Scotland, and I remember knocking this door, handing out gospel leaflets, and this lady said, come in, and I went into the house. And I told her what Mr. Moore and I were doing, preaching in an old bus, a gospel bus, travelling round about the little hamlet and preaching the lovely message of the gospel. And we told this dear lady what our business was for God. Well, she says, you know, she says, I don't need God's message. She says, I don't need God's salvation. And I said, why? I said, the Bible says we've all sinned. We're all sinners in the sight of God. You know what she said? She said, count me out. She says, I've never sinned. My friends tonight in the meeting, I trust that there's no one here that would say that. God's word says, all have sinned. You know, I don't think we need to be too intelligent to understand what the word all means. There are many words I don't understand. But this little word, I do understand tonight. God said, all have sinned, and that includes everyone in the meeting tonight. That's what Jeremiah does. He highlights the sin of the people in the days of Jeremiah. My friend, could I say something to you tonight? You know, one of the most solemn verses I know in the book of Jeremiah, Chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Do you know why they're not saved? Because they never appreciated their need. Let me just tell you a little tender touch tonight. You know that lady attended a month of gospel meetings that Mr. Moore and I had? We had a month of gospel meetings, and that woman came every night. Some nights she would cry going out the meeting. I don't know if it was the story of the death of Christ, the sufferings of that lovely man at Calvary. I don't know what it really was, but she never got saved. You know why? Because she wouldn't confess her sinnership. She said, count me out, I'm not a sinner, and she never got saved. In Jeremiah chapter 8, here we have a people, and the Spirit of God has left on record for us this sad statement: the harvest is past, the times of opportunity, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Friend in the meeting tonight, listen, let me say something tenderly to you this evening. You will never, never get things until you appreciate your need that you're a sinner tonight in the sight of God. What is my verse say tonight? I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. You know, the very holiness of God has been paid by the sin. I just want to stop for a minute tonight. My friends in this gospel meeting, do you recognize the holiness of God is paid by your sin? I would like you to think about that tonight. The holiness of God is pain by your sin. That's how serious sin is against the God of heaven. His holiness is pain by your sin. Secondly, I want you to notice the love of God is very patient with your sin. Oh, I'm so glad and so thankful tonight that I can stand here and look back in my own life. And I thank God every day that His love was patient with my sin. He wanted to save me, and His love, His tender compassion, patient with my sin. That's why you're in this gospel meeting tonight. Because the love of God is patient with your sin. Is God always patient? Thank God the Bible would declare it. And I believe it. That's why God's people marched round about the city of Jericho for 7 days. What was God doing? He was giving the people of Jericho plenty of time to recognize that God was about to move. Thank God for the 7 days. Do you remember God's message through His servant Jonah? Yes, 40 days. And Nineveh shall be overthrown. Thank God for the 40 days. God's love is patient with your sin. Do you know why God sent the plagues in the book of Exodus? Because His love was patient with the sin of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. My friend tonight, the very fact that you're in this gospel meeting is a wonderful proof that the love of God is patient with your sin. If God hadn't been patient with us, possibly a big number of us in this meeting tonight might have been in there. But God was long-suffering. He was patient. Do you remember that word in the same epistle to the Romans? All the day long have I stretched out my hands unto a disobedient and vain saying people. My friend, did you catch that lovely word tonight? All the day long. That's not a day of 24 hours. Oh, no, my friend tonight. The holiness of God is stained by your sin. That's what Jeremiah's highlighting. That's what the Spirit wants to do in this meeting in relation to your sin and your conscience tonight. That you might be awakened to the fact that while sin to you might be a pleasure, the holiness of God is gained by your sin tonight, my friend. The love of God is patient with us. But I want to say something else. The mercy of God is ready to pardon. Yes, even the sinner tonight. The mercy of God is ready and wants to give you a pardon for your sin tonight. His holiness came by it. His love, patient with it. His mercy, ready to pardon it. Oh, friend tonight, we're so glad and were so happy to be able to preach the gospel so that you might get faith in it. God's mercy is ready to pardon it. You know what the book of Nehemiah tells us? He is a God slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, and ready. Right now, he's ready to pardon. What a lovely message, man. This is what Jeremiah wants to get across to the people. Their sin. Jeremiah says, you know, they don't even blush. So this man, this wife has helped him in his truth. He says, they don't even blush. Do you not think that's where we're at tonight? That we're living in a world and sin is being practiced almost at every street corner. All over the land tonight, sin is being practiced and the holiness of God is seen by it. Jeremiah says they don't even blush. They couldn't care less. Listen, is there one in this meeting tonight? And as you sit quietly in the presence of God, and you just take stock of your life, and I want to tell you this, it's a wise man and a wise woman that sits quietly in God's presence and takes stock of what they are in the sight of God. That's a very wise thing for any sinner to do tonight. To sit quietly as my voice is coming out, and I trust God's Spirit is getting the word, that the word is digging deep into your conscience tonight in relation to your sin that's paining the very holiness of God. You would be a wise man or woman tonight to sit down and take stock of what you are in the presence of God. Remember in the book of Genesis chapter 3, when God said, Adam, where art thou? It's not that God doesn't know where Adam is. That God wants Adam to recognize his own position in the sight of God. That's what we want you to do in this meeting this evening. We want you to sit down quietly now, and as you hear the tender voice of the Spirit of God as he touches your conscience and convicts of your sin, because remember, there can be no healthy conversion without a healthy conviction about sin in it. They don't even blush. That means they couldn't care less about their sin. You know, there's a very solemn verse in the book of Hosea and in the book of Amos. Let me quote one from Amos. You know what Amos chapter 6 says? The people put far from them the evil day. You know what that means? They are just going to live as they want to live, and they're not concerned about the day that's yet to come. My dear sinner friend in the gathering, I would advise you very kindly and tenderly, don't you be foolish like that. You face the facts of the reality of your sin tonight. Jeremiah says, they don't even blush. And fourthly, I want you to notice, not only is the holiness of God pained by sin, and the love of God patient with their sin, and the mercy of God ready to pardon their sin, but I want to tell you something else. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 6, we are reminded that the righteousness of God must punish them. Pain. Patience. Pardon. That his righteousness must punish their sin. Why do you think Jeremiah brings in the text I read tonight? He says, now look, I'm setting before you now, after all he said to them, these things that I've tried to touch very briefly tonight, Jeremiah says, now look, he said, I want to set before you the way of life and the way of death. Listen to verse 9. He says, if you stay in the city, you'll perish.
because the city of Jerusalem was going to be destroyed.
If they stay in the city, they are staying in the place where the judgment of God will fall. But he says, look, if you come out from the city, and he says, if you prepare just as falleth to the Chaldeans, just fall upon the mercy and the tender mercy. Don't remain where you are, because that would be stubborn. But he says, get out of the place of danger, and that will be surrender. My friend, I must sit down tonight. But I want to say this to you. Are you going to change your position tonight? Can you just grasp with me verse 9 of Jeremiah 21? Here's the choice. Jeremiah says, I'm speaking on behalf of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. These are not the words of men tonight. This is the word of God that's being preached. Thus saith the Lord. I have set before you the way of life. What is the way of life in Jeremiah 21? The way of life is, leave the place where the judgment of God is about to fall. Take the way of life tonight, friends. Flee to the man of Calvary tonight. The judgment of God has fallen upon my sin bearer at Calvary. We were reminded this morning about that blessed man who's moving to the tree, 1 Peter 2:24. He's moving to the tree, and when God's lovely son, that sinless, silent sin bearer at Calvary on the tree, the Bible says this, that he bore my sin on his own body on the tree. My friend and I listen, you can leave the place where the judgment of God is going to fall, and you can move to the place where the judgment of God has fallen, and that place is Calvary. But if you stay where you are, that's the way of death in my text tonight. Friend, I don't have time to speak about a door to enter and a gift to receive. But I just want to say that before Mr. Mark will take over the meeting. If you're prepared to enter in, John 10 and 9, I always think that it's so profound. So beautiful. So simple. If any enter in, they shall be safe. It's a way to go. Take the way of life tonight in Christ. It's a door to enter. Christ is the door. And it's a gift to receive. God is offering you a full and free gift tonight in the person of his lovely son who died at Calvary's cross. There's a way to go, there's a door to enter, and there's a gift to receive. As Mr. Marco continues in the name, dear sinner, friend tonight, make your way as a guilty sinner to the lovely sin bearer that died at Calvary. John 10 and 19. You shall. Thank you.